Hello, this is TJ Brownbag
and Peter Peterson,
and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And on this very special edition of Brownbag Culture, we're gonna be telling some definitely factual, real, true stories.
Not fake.
That very happened. Real. Yeah. 1 second. Thank you. So our first special guest for the show is it's very near and dear to my heart, you know. His dog actually recently got diagnosed.
Very terminal disease.
Very terminal disease. It's pretty sad. Yeah, but his name is Steve, so let's put him on. Steve, it's your time to shine. So, I was walking down the mean streets of Medford, Oregon, and, you know, let me tell you something about Medford. The streets are mean, and the asphalt's quite cracked. You know, it's not a very well kept city. They have a lot of potholes. You know, the high school's tough. You know, no engineering program, no arts program. They just sit there and write essays. You know, a bunch of losers. And so I'm walking down the mean streets of Medford, Oregon, and I look to my right, and on my right, I see a pool supply store. And in the pool supply store, you know, Bailey, you'll never believe this. I see a man in the window, and he's washing the window. So I keep walking, and then I hear a noise to my left. So I look to my left, and I see, you know who I see? You'll never believe this, Bailey. You know who I see? I see Steve Nash. I know.
No way.
Steve Nash. It was quite a moment. So,
what a character.
I don't want to, you know what? I know he's a busy guy. I don't want to bother him. You know, it's like, you know, I don't want to be one of those crazy, like.
Yeah, but Steve Nash, man.
I know. You know, if I was Steve Nash, I wouldn't want some other Steve saying hi to me on the side of the street. Mm-hmm. So you know what I do? I keep on walking. And as I'm walking, you know Bailey, how he said that the streets are quite cracked in Medford, Oregon? You know? Mm-hmm. I twisted my ankle.
Oh, man. No way.
Dude.
Was it bad?
It wasn't that bad, but it was like, it was noticeable where I like kind of stumbled a little bit and was like, ow, my ankle. So I kind of limped for like 5 minutes, just kept walking.
That brings me back. I used to be a notorious stair jumper. Like a lot of you might not be familiar with that term anymore. It's kind of gone out of style, but like almost maybe a decade ago, stair jumping was just a huge thing. It was kind of an alternative scene, like skateboarding was getting a little popular. So like my group of friends, we were like, screw skateboarding. I'm like, who needs a wooden plank and wheels under their feet? We can just jump down the stairs ourselves. And I mean, we got Red Bull on board, but after a little bit they kind of hopped off. It wasn't really lasting, mainly because of all our ankle injury, so I really know what you're going through. Sorry I cut you off there, but
that was very interesting. I think that was a good tangent. I think it added some good context to my story about Medford, Oregon. You know, I've heard that's also big in Medford, Massachusetts as
I did a couple tours through there, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty, you know, it's a rough city. It's up and coming, you know. It's tough out here. Tough life.
Yeah, so you're saying you twisted your ankle.
Oh, yeah. So after I saw Steve Nash, I was, you know, I was being a little reckless. I was like, whoa, that was Steve Nash. And I was kind of just focusing on that. I wasn't really, my mind wasn't on my feet, you know what they say. And so I keep walking. And on my left, I see the only In-N-Out in Oregon. In Medford, Oregon.
I didn't even know they had those, man.
They have one, and it's in Medford, Oregon. So the line is really long. So
you're
standing
there with your twisted ankle.
So kind of like, I didn't really have any plans for the day. I was probably just going to keep walking around, maybe go to a separate pool supply store. But you know what?
That's really cool, by the way.
It's dirty.
That's what you need to do.
So, supplies. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'm not doing anything better. I might as well check out the only In-N-Out in Oregon while I'm there. So I walk over, or I limp over. I'm standing in line. And there I am behind, you wouldn't believe it, someone who looks exactly like Steve Nash.
Do you think it was the same guy?
I know it wasn't.
Different guy.
Different guy. Same, would you believe that?
Same town. Oh my God.
Like,
no
what?
Way,
what
man.
Is the likelihood of running into two people?
Wait, hold up. What if the first guy you saw was the guy who looked like Steve Nash, and the second guy was actually Steve Nash?
That would, you know what,
that
would
cross your mind.
That didn't even cross my mind.
Man.
I, you know what, that was pretty.
Boy, oh boy.
That was quite an assumption of me. You know,
Yeah, who are you, a Steve Nash expert? Come on.
Idiot.
Stupid.
So yeah, so I was standing behind someone who may well have been Steve Nash, and I'm standing there. You know, it's kind of nice to take all the weight off of my twisted ankle. You know, I'm standing there, and I'm looking up at the menu, and I'm like, you know what? What do I want to order? I've been to In-N-Out before, but none in Oregon. You know,
I actually have never been to In-N-Out. Can you give me like a quick menu rundown, just the highlights?
Well, so
I never stopped by Medford, Oregon.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, callers, but I'm pretty sure they have, I think they have a normal hamburger. They have a cheeseburger.
No way.
I know. They have a cheeseburger. They have french fries.
Oh, man.
They have shakes.
Curly fries?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
No curly fries.
They have shakes, chocolate, strawberry, vanilla.
Oh, keep them coming.
And you can get a double-double, which has two times the meat and cheese. Gotcha. You can get a milk, a hot cocoa, or a coffee. So yeah, I was looking at the menu and I was like, you know what really sounds good? I kind of want to treat myself. So,
pretty rough day.
Yeah, I had a pretty rough day, like, twisted my ankle. That kind of messed up my plans for walking around. So I was like, you know what, man, myself, I think I could use a nice hamburger without the onions. Or actually, I didn't know that at the time, but anyway, I got up to the counter, and the dude at the counter, I forgot his name, he had a very nice, you know, he had a nice, like, chin strap beard, and, like, dirty blonde hair. You know, he had a very friendly face on it. It sounded like he made me feel very welcome in that In-N-Out in Medford, Oregon. So, yeah, he asked me, you know, what would you like to eat? And I said, you know what, man, I would like a hamburger.
Bold moves, bold choice.
It was, there's some tough deliberation. So he says, you know what, do you want onions on that? I said, you know what, man, no, I don't want onions on that.
It's actually a hotly debated topic. Like, if you have any strong opinions, please let us know. But, I mean, personally, I love onions on my burgers. But, I mean, sometimes they can be, like, too long that you can't even bite through them. And then you just, like, you pull away. You want to put your hamburger down, maybe check your phone, like, maybe wipe your mouth with a napkin. And you just have this onion. Half of it's in your mouth. A third of it's in your mouth. A third of it's in the air. A third of it's still in the burger. And you don't know what to do. Do you pull out? Do you, like, let go of your bite midair? I mean, it's just, you gotta do some quick thinking. And all the time, you're looking like an idiot. You got a half an onion in your mouth, and the rest is in the sandwich.
A third of an onion in your mouth.
I'm not great at fractions, I'm sorry.
So, you know, I'm not particularly, like, strong opinioned on this topic, but you know what? Mm-hmm. I was just like, you know what? Onions don't really sound really good right now, so I think I'm just going to go for the purest approach. I'm going to get a hamburger, sans onions, plus tomatoes and lettuce. No cheese.
Okay, here. Let's just backtrack a little bit. You ever do tomatoes and ketchup on the same sandwich? Because that always confused me, because you got two tomato toppings. One of them, what even is ketchup? but one of them's a liquid, one of them's a solid. They're both.
What is ketchup?
Wet. I think ketchup's just a bunch of salt, like mixed up tomatoes and sugar.
So that that reminds me. That reminds me, man. So I was taken. Forgive me for the sidetrack. I know you were pretty invested in the In-N-Out story, but so I was. You know, I was taking a tour of a ketchup factory, not Heinz, not Heinz, definitely not Heinz. And I was taking a tour. I think I was really looking forward to after the tour when. You know, you go, like, you check out the shop and buy, like, merchandise, you know, Heinz memorabilia, or not Heinz memorabilia, and, yeah, I thought it was just, like, a really interesting tour. I had never thought of ketchup in that light before.
Now, do they make, like, mustards and relish in the same factory, or is it just ketchup exclusive?
No. Only ketchup.
It's an or question. You can't give me a yes or no answer. So, only ketchup.
Only ketchup.
Yeah. Dedicated factory. That's what you like. That's what you like to see from a ketchup manufacturer.
It's kosher.
I mean, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Not kosher.
Only kosher. So yeah. So I, you know what? I just thought that was a really, that was kind of like a life changing experience for me. You know, I was like, you know what? If they put this much effort into making ketchup, which is basically just like another form of tomatoes, which I don't think anybody asked for before ketchup existed. You know,
I mean, the people, like, they don't know what they want. You gotta show the people. It's like that's business 101.
You have to lead the sheep to their
create market demand for your product.
You know, there are shepherds, and there are sheep.
You always gotta be the sheep.
And Heinz, not Heinz. They're the shepherds. And so yeah, I was. So yeah, so.
So let me just slide you, like, all the way back real quick. How did you end up in Medford, Oregon?
So, you'll never believe this, man. So
I just might. Try me.
So, I was... So, it was the summer after my third year of my job at AMD. And I was like, you know what? I have had kind of a complacent year, you know, like my boss has kind of pushed me around. I didn't have very many posters in my cubicle. So I was like, you know what? I really want to be adventurous. So you know what I did? I've always dreamed of doing this. I said to myself, you know what? I am going to walk up California.
As many of us want to do.
Yeah, but.
But you did it.
But I did it. To Medford, Oregon.
Possibly the first man ever.
Possibly. And you know why I was the first man ever?
Do tell.
Because I walked up the freeways.
So, did you get any, like, weird looks from the cars? I mean, wait. Did you walk past Sacramento? Because I think I saw a guy. Because I was driving to work, too. For Intel, of course. And I was driving to work, and I see this, like... Do you have a long beard at the time? You just, like, beard down to your waist... Like, the most ragged hoodie I've ever seen. This guy's just hobbling up the highway. I was like, oh, well, California. I didn't really think anything of it at the time. Was that you?
I think that may have been another Steve Nash. You know, I kept myself very clean shaven. Oh. I wore a collared shirt.
So you may not have been the first one. This was in October.
Damn it.
Did someone beat you?
Dude,
sorry.
Who is that? Who is he?
I could have. Oh, Steve Nash, I guess.
That would make perfect sense.
Yeah, he was also Medford.
I could, you know what?
He got there right before you. He probably shaved, bought some new clothes.
And then walked to the In-N-Out, maybe.
It could have
been that guy. Either way, Steve Nash was in Medford, Oregon on that day. But yeah, so I was walking up the coast of California. Not the coast, the middle of California.
Yeah,
up the 5 highway, the scenic 5 highway. You know,
curvy roads.
Curvy country roads. You know, it's so beautiful.
They didn't take you home, though. They took you far away.
They took me to a metaphorical home, Medford, Oregon.
As they always do.
All roads lead to Medford, Oregon. And consequently, the In-N-Out. So, yeah. So, the 5, like, I can't even describe how beautiful the 5 freeway is in California going up the Central Valley. You know, it's like...
you're walking, and for just hundreds of miles, all you see are just cattle farms.
That reminds me of, actually, Route 2 in Medford, Massachusetts. Kind of a very similar... We don't have cows, of course. But when I was working here at Harvard, I was driving, I had a house in Medford, was teaching at Harvard, and, the country road, just like it's just you're saying these words, and it's just images are just flowing into my head. It's just, I guess we don't have cows though. It's tough to make that cross analysis.
Do you have chickens?
We have horses.
That's close. I'd count that.
Same animal.
Yeah.
Both have milk.
I agree. I think Steve Nash would also agree.
I think he would.
I think he could get behind that, you know. I'll reach out for the next episode. But yeah, so anyway, I was walking through Steve Nash was walking through Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And I was walking up the 5 freeway completely separately from Steve Nash, but he beat me. He just had to beat me.
Maybe he caught a lift. Maybe he saw you. Maybe he saw you up ahead and he caught a lift to get an unfair advantage.
That cheater.
That sounds like Steve. He has a lot of friends.
That is
Steve
a class. That's
a lot of friends. He's seen someone on the highway he knew.
Whenever I hear about Steve Nash, it is always about how many friends he has and how much of a cheater he is.
He's a good guy, but doesn't have the strongest morals.
Loose-moraled Steve Nash. You know what they used to call him back in high school?
Loose-moraled Steve Nash.
Exactly. Loose for short.
Loosey-goosey.
You know what? I think my favorite stop on the way, it must have been California City, California. I think it was just really beautiful, really scenic. You know, there was just so much potential there, you know? Like, back in the day, that must have just been so exciting, you know? You're like, all these new Californians are moving into California City, California. And we, like...
I mean, the gold prospects there were just incredible. You always got to be searching for the pocket.
Especially,
it's very elusive.
Especially in the 1970s.
Yeah.
I was walking through there, and I look to my left, you know, as I usually do, and I see an empty lot. And I look to my right, and I see another empty lot. And I'm like, whoa, this is... There's so much promise here, much potential.
So that's actually when you called me up, and we started our development company called Drink Enterprises, and that's when it really took off. I mean, that's basically when our friendship really solidified from just acquaintances to, like, just really close work associates. Sorry, acquaintances, associates, very similar words. Yeah, so those two plots, California City, California, was actually where we got our start.
You know, Intel started in a garage somewhere.
Drink Incorporated started on two lots in California City, California.
Yeah, next thing you know, I'll be Steve Jobs and you'll be Steve Nash.
And that's all we can really hope for in this world.
I think that's my ideal.
I think it's going to leave it off. Very positive end. We'll have a next guest on soon.
We'll have a little... coffee intermission. Thanks for tuning in. Again, if you want to call in, maybe tell a personal anecdote, the number is 855-915-9636.
And again, that's 855-915-9636. We'd love to hear from you.
This has been DJ Brownback. And
Peter Peterson.
Thanks for tuning in.
Well, I just want to give a quick shout out to my dude Steve for coming on, kind of opening himself up to such a personal anecdote. Thanks for coming on, Steve. Can I get some snaps from everybody in the chat? Thank you. And also, before we begin our next story, I just want to take a little moment of silence for Nick the Smoker.
He's a good man. We're all rooting for him.
Yeah. We're hoping YouTube does right by him, you know? It's been a tough year for the dude. Yeah. It's very close to home. Well, anyway, our next story is, it's from a very dear work acquaintance of mine. His name is Ivan Pierogi. Let's give it up.
So, kind of what I came on to talk about is this. It's a pretty significant event in my life. Kind of my first, it was like a big rite of passage for me, kind of when I went from being a little kid to kind of knowing a little bit more about the world and how it works. So, so as our host, wonderful host, said, my name's Ivan. And when I was 8 years old, I went on a vacation with my parents and my older sister. We'd saved up for quite a while, but our parents really wanted to do something nice for us, show us the world. So we went to France, and it was a great time. We were sitting in this, we rented this wonderful apartment from this family who was out in Italy at the time. We had just over a week in the country, and just right in the heart of Paris. It was a wonderful time. And one of our favorite, like, little, I don't know if you can call it a tradition, because it was, like, we were only there for just over a week, but one of the nicest things I remember about that trip was that every morning we'd go out and we'd buy a fresh baguette from a local bakery, we'd get a little bit of butter, some jam, and we'd just have a nice little family breakfast. We're in the apartment, we didn't go out, we took it nice and slow, and it's just such a wonderful time. But my parents, and me myself as well, thought it'd be a great idea that one of these mornings I would go out and I would get the bread for the family. I've been to the bread shop 3-4 times already, like, obviously with my parents, but I really wanted to go out and just, like, be able to do it myself. So around, like, 9, 10 a.m., we woke up, and, I mean, my parents were awake as well, so I go off and I go to this bakery, and I get to where I think it is, and where I've been a couple times. Like, couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 blocks from our apartment, and it's not there. The shutters are closed, nothing's outside. So I just, like, okay, I must have taken a wrong turn. I backtrack a little, try to find the bakery in a different street. Not there again. And before I know it, I'm completely lost in Paris. And kind of the kicker to me being lost is, so English actually isn't my first language. So I was 8 years old at the time, and I had some English under my belt, but it was very broken. Like, I could barely get some words out. And eventually, probably, I didn't have a watch, I don't know how long it was, but it felt like hours of, like, wandering around Paris. I'd given up on finding the baguette shop, obviously. I was trying to get home. I just sat down on the curb and I started crying. And this woman sees me, and she was an American tourist. She comes up to me. I guess I must have looked American to her. Starts talking to me about, like, are you okay? And again, I can barely understand this woman. But eventually I get through, she lets me use her phone, and she calls my parents, or my father, and they come to pick me up, and I was sitting on the same street as our apartment. I was literally about 200 feet away from where we were standing, from where we were staying, and this woman had lives in the same apartment building, but obviously I wasn't able to describe it to her. But it turns out that this woman is my dad's ex-girlfriend from college. So, quite a meandering story here with all the people, but very traumatic experience in my life. But I really learned a lot about navigating a harsh city on my own. Yeah, so that's that.
Thank you, Ivan Pierogi, for, you know.
Anytime.
That was a really beautiful story. So, in the same vein. In the same vein of, coming of age, learning about my body, who I am,
you know, all those questions that preteens ask themselves. I'm gonna transfer the line over to a good friend of mine, Jonathan Starr.
Good man.
So yeah, let's take it away, Jonathan. So, well, first I want to say thanks for having me on air, and
anytime.
I just want to give a quick shout out to Nick the Smoker. I hope everything works out for him. Okay.
Here, here.
You know, yeah, we're all in this together. Nick, Aid, it's an event. Let's get it. So this kind of the story's pretty close to home. It's kind of tough to share, but so just to give a little bit of context, I grew up in Sacramento, California.
If you remember, right next to where we saw Steve Nash on the highway.
I believe it, yeah. Steve Nash has been known to wander through the streets. So growing up in Sacramento, you know, it's tough. You know, Sacramento is not the best place to grow up. You know, like, what are we known for? We're known for having, whatever. Sacramento is okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's okay.
It is what it is.
We have pools.
Not when it's too dry, though. Can't be wasting that water.
No, that would be irresponsible.
Very responsible.
So going to middle school in Sacramento, I was...
It's a tough time. Middle school was a tough time.
Middle school was a tough time, and you know, it was... You know how you go through phases in middle school, you know? You know, everybody has, like, an embarrassing phase. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, back in middle school, remember those kids who, like, bullied people?
Oh, man.
I was, like, one of those kids, you know? I was, like...
Don't tell me, Mick.
I know, it's so embarrassing. It was so embarrassing.
Oh, I blocked this part out, man.
I know.
You bullied me, man. Come on.
I know, it's so embarrassing. Yeah, I was like one of those kids who bullied other kids, you know, not for any reason in particular. It just kind of made me feel good in a really, like, nice way. So at my school, Ramon C. Cortez High School in Sacramento, California, it's probably the fourth biggest high school, maybe like 1,000 kids. Oh, wait, sorry, my bad, middle school. I kind of mix them up occasionally. But anyway, so I was chatting up this really, really, really hot biddy in the hallway.
Hot 7th grade biddy, by the way.
Yeah, it was... I'd say that was, like, peak. That was, like, peak for me.
She must have been 14. Oh, man.
Dude, she was something else, let me tell you. It was... Yeah, that was, like, peak for me. It was really nice. And anyway, so this, like, nerd comes up to me in the hallway, and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm chatting up this fine lady, this woman, really, at any point. So I'm like, don't look at me. Don't look at me in the eye. So I push the nerd into the locker, and I'm like, don't worry about him. You know, he's whack. So, you know, that kind of threw me off my game. You know, I was like, I was really feeling it. I was cracking jokes. I was like, I was telling her how really, good I was at, like, COD.
The best way to describe things, just really in the groove, you know?
I was really in the groove,
yeah,
you know?
Get into that, yeah.
I was feeling it. I was in the zone, dude. So, yeah, so... It really just threw me off. I was pretty upset. Like, who does that? Who just comes up, looks me in the eye... While I'm chatting up this hot bird?
Like, he must have seen you, like... Like, yeah, you weren't the best guy, but come on. No one messes with that.
So,
unacceptable.
So, I say, you know what, D, I have to, I'll talk to you later, you know, I'll see you at the sleepover tonight, you know.
Well, you had a sleepover lined up. That's pretty impressive to line that up and, like.
Well, I was just going to show up.
Oh, I see, you're going to crash.
Yeah, it was, like, her and, like, her family, and I was just going to show up.
Yeah,
one of those.
Where she was sleeping. It's just like regular night sleepover. Yeah,
it's just kind of like a classic move, you know, Sacramento. It's a Sacramento thing. It's hard to explain to outsiders.
I know.
Only Sacramento locals. So, yeah. So, I'm like, you know what, D, I'll see you tonight. She didn't know what I was talking about, but I did see her.
She would find out soon.
She would find out quite soon. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to teach that little rapscallion a lesson. Mm-hmm, so I find him and I say, you know what, buddy? Me and you, we're gonna tussle. We're gonna oil wrestle. And you'll see how much of a dweeb you are. So I'm like, after school, me and you, after Miss Kiefler's class, after red block, don't even get me started on after red block. There are many formative moments in my life after red block, but I was like, dweeb, you, after red block, it's gonna be me, you, and oil, and we are gonna wrestle. And I will come out on top.
Let me just stop you for 1 second. I just gotta know. What kind of oil did you have lined up for this fight?
Vegetable
oil? Was it used vegetable oil? You get it for free from
it was quite
from a taqueria, or do you buy fresh vegetable oil just for the fight?
I was like, you know, I was a middle schooler. I was still working off, you know, that young parental income. So, you know, I had to kind of go budget with it.
No, fair, you know? Fair. Nothing wrong with using vegetable oil.
I kept a good supply of vegetable oil in my locker that I siphoned weekly from the local McDonald's. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He knew I had vegetable. Everybody knew I had vegetable oil on me. I mean,
even I knew you had vegetable
oil. I stay strapped. They don't know where I get it. You know, because that's kind of a shameful thing for me.
If you'd been telling people where you got your vegetable oil, everyone could have had vegetable oil. I could have had vegetable oil.
And those kids would have made fun of me for being poor, not affording vegetable oil like a normal kid back then. Mm-hmm. You know, it was tough growing up in Sacramento. You know, vegetable oil prices were pretty high back then, especially on the east side. You know, it's tough. So I'm like, dweeb. We're wrestling, right? And the dweeb is like, it's, you know, of course, like, I'm a dweeb. I'm so scared. So it wasn't really a question. It was more of just kind of like, we're wrestling because you insulted my family. You insulted where I came from. And I had to prove myself. Not only to me, but to everyone. And to especially to that hot bird that I was chatting up earlier.
I mean, I was there. Like, you must have gathered, like, almost half the school for that fight. Like, I wasn't in the front row. I didn't get to see a lot. But, I mean, there were a lot of people there. You really showed that kid up.
I really...
You taught him his lesson.
You know, I dominated that kid. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He didn't come to school for, like, 2 days. You know, I really...
I was scared to even, like, walk by you in the hallway after that one.
Good. Because if anyone looks me in the eye while I'm chatting up a dime, they will get, they, you know, they saw what happened to that little dweeb. Mm-hmm, you know, Alex, mm-hmm. Alex, did. Whatever, he's a no name now. You know, I wrestled him. Yeah, he's gone.
Well, he did try to apply to actually my friend's company, the water development company, and I he called me up because he saw that he was from Sacramento. Like, he's like, you know this kid? I think you might have gone to the same middle high school. Like, and I just told him flat out, like, that kid, I mean, I don't know if he ever grew up. That kid, he would just get laid out by anything you threw at him.
What a loser.
So we made sure he never got that job. Mm-mm-mm.
Alphas only at the water company. Yeah, so... I kind of destroyed that kid, and I think it was fair. I think he deserved it. He got what was coming to him.
You didn't fight a lot in high school, though. So how do you think that fight really like changed who you are? Like, because you kind of like established yourself as really the alpha, and then you never really had any fights again.
Well, you know, it's all about the appearance. You know, mm-hmm. Once I wrestled that kid and destroyed him systematically. In the field of oil, I mean
kiddie pool, really.
Yes, kiddie pool, but metaphorical field. Mm-hmm. So Nobody wanted a piece of me. Nobody dared oil wrestle me. Those were the days, man. But yeah, you know, life isn't so simple nowadays. You can't just oil wrestle any dweeb that comes up to you and interrupts you.
Someone cross you now? You can't just be like, come on, man, me and you. After class, tub of oil.
After red block.
You gotta flame them on Facebook. You gotta block them on Instagram. Stop. End your Snapchat streak. It's just way more complicated now.
I liked it back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day was a lot better.
Back in the day.
Tubs of oil and that's all you needed.
Back in the glory days. Now these millennials, you know, they can't.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. Well, thank you for that great story. That'll be the end of our segment on formative stories of our youth. We'll catch you guys in a little bit.
Thanks for having me on again.
Anytime.
Big shout out to Nick the Smoker in his trying time. We pray for him. You know.
He needs all the help he
needs. Yeah, it's been a tough year for that guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, back to you, Bailey. Okay, well, yeah, so that was our, as my associate here said, that was our formative children's youth stories. I hope it kind of inspired you, maybe brought up some things you might not have thought about in a long time, you know.
Maybe think about your own childhood a little bit.
Yeah, I think...
What kind of really shaped you as a kid?
I think all of us can see a little bit of ourselves in that story. Mm. I know I can. So we're going to take a little break to catch our breaths, and we'll be back in a second.
This part of the road is normally the most dangerous.
We'll be back momentarily. fellow viewers, we're back. We took a nice little intermission, you know, let our guest, our next guest, into the studio, and we're ready to give, to regale you really with another fascinating tale from the frontier. So, yeah, you know, take it away.
So, my name is John Kane. I've been listening for a while. Some of the stories I heard from some kind of the rougher parts of America. Mine's coming from kind of a, almost like the opposite end of the spectrum. I definitely came from a wealthier family, and we often we took a lot of vacations. And but when I was in college, I think it was my junior year, my friends and I, we you guys heard of those like new Airbuses, like the ones that have like bars and like casinos on board, just like these massive things. The entire top floor is restricted; only the highest paying first class passengers are allowed. So I was up there with all my friends. I bought them all tickets. And we're just, oh man, like just thinking back to those plush seats. I just, oh man. But definitely the nicest flight I ever took. But so we're all lounging around. We're playing some baccarat right next to the bar. Probably had each of us like 6, maybe 14 gin and tonics deep, just having the time of our lives. And then we see this like odd looking Russian man. I hate to be judgmental, but like this guy was definitely Russian. He's wearing a nice little pinstripe suit, but he it didn't quite look like he belonged. And you saw him too, right? He looked really odd.
You know, he just had that look in his eyes where he, like, I can't trust him. You know?
Yeah, Jack, you're totally right.
You know what I mean?
Something in his eyes. And his beard, too, it was like, he looked young, but his beard was just so gray, like, he'd been through a lot.
Like he was hiding something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and there's, so the people in this lounge, so it's me, my friend Jack, and then, like, three of our other buddies. Then we have this slimy little character, this pinstripe suit, and there were a couple ambassadors. I hate to see taxpayers waste money on flying ambassadors on first class, but I guess they deserve it. So these three gentlemen, probably in their 50s, kind of big guts. And then this one other guy who, just like your quintessential American man, businessman, really. He's also wearing a nice suit. Just a really friendly atmosphere to him, but again, something in his eyes just wasn't quite right. He seemed like skittish, maybe nervous. Like, it's tough to say.
He looked scared, let me tell you.
Yeah. I'm really scared. But so this one of these ambassadors, he's just losing play after play after play, and he's getting really frustrated with baccarat. And like, he's just pounding his fist. He's just getting really aggressive. And eventually he retired to his cabin. He kind of gave up on trying to win his money back. And we're all still hanging out, and then as soon as he gets up to leave, our little Russian friend gets up and follows him. And these two, for sure, haven't known each other. But, it looked very suspicious. So I followed him back to the resting quarters. And the doors on this plane, like, they definitely lock, but they really weren't great. And I walk into the hallway moments after Ivan, or let's call him Ivan. So Ivan turned the corner, and they were both gone. I was a little confused by this, but I kept walking, went through my cabinet. I decided to get a little shut-eye. Friends were still out, but I just wanted to get some rest, sleep off my my gin and tonics. And I hear this, a couple thumps. And it wasn't loud. It was kind of like a muffled, like... And instantly, I don't know what clicked in me, but I knew something was wrong. Let me just backtrack a little bit. So when you're a first class passenger, they don't really check you for anything. Like this was like probably around 2008. So they really, like, of course the TSA is in effect and everything, but if you're a first class passenger, you flash your ticket, they really just kind of let you through. They don't really care about anything. So I knew it was possible that something was going to go amiss. But I stayed in my room there, but actually you went to investigate more. So why don't you tell me there?
You know, I'm extremely sorry, but I have to interrupt the story with a message from our sponsors.
Very, very, Understandable.
Yeah, sorry. So sorry to ruin your flow. But yeah, so here's some numbers to think about. Prescription drug versus medical marijuana deaths. Number of Americans that die each day from an accidental overdose of prescription drugs, 54. Number of human beings that have died from an overdose of medical marijuana in all of recorded history, 0. That was a message in the public interest from WMFO in Medford Tufts Educational Radio. This is and has been DJ Brownbag and
Peter Pierce.
And you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Okay, yeah, sorry about that. You know, that was completely unprofessional of me. That was very not Sarah Koenig of me.
It's all right. Me and Jack forgive you. So, yeah, so Jack, so after those couple thumps, I stayed in bed. I like, something wasn't sitting right, but I really wasn't, I was too tired, a little too, I just wanted to rest my eyes. So, but you actually went and you heard that too. So tell me a little about what you did there.
So I was sitting there wearing my finest fur, really. I really had to stunt on the aristocrats, you know, you had to back in the day.
Yeah, and then worst comes to worst, you lose your money in Baccarat, you can still bet your fur, so you got a little in the bag.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I was playing Baccarat, you know, I was kind of feeling myself. I was smoking cigs, you know, I was having a good time, I was, you know.
Yeah, we actually talked a lot about that, like, you're much more of a Camel cigarette man, but I was always really into pipe tobacco.
You know what? You know what's
pipes
funny?
Really did it for me.
You know what's funny? 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Camel cigarettes.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
Nice.
Let me tell you. Yeah. So yeah, I was sitting there with my aristocrat friends having intellectual discussions and smoking cigarettes. And to be honest with you, I was about 12 gin and tonics deep. Mm-hmm. So I was slightly buzzed, and I was really enjoying myself in this game of Baccarat. And I, you know that feeling when you can tell someone's looking at you?
Mm-hmm. You kind of feel like the hairs in the back of your neck kind of stand up a little.
It's a weird feeling, but you know what? I am never wrong. So
you never are.
I'm never wrong. So I knew someone was watching me. Someone. And you know who it was?
I do not.
It was the shady looking guy.
Now, was it Ivan or was it the American?
It was both.
They both came back to the table at that point.
And they were both looking at me.
Wow.
I was focused on the